lead us and turn us to truth about our Father and lead us back to become children of God. That's our anchor truth. Woo, amen. Don't run around the room. Our anchor scripture is even more deeper. John 1:14 says the Word, meaning Jesus, because God's expression came through a word, and that is Jesus, became a saint. He became human. Yes, that's not sacrilegious. This is in the Bible. And made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father and the Son only. We're talking about each year, but it goes beyond each year, the greatest love story known to humanity. The greatest giver, our Father God, giving the greatest gift to us. Some may say that sounds too simple. And we said this last week. In the culture and a world we're living in, we need the wow factor. We need visibility means greatness. Production means greatness. The smarter you are, the more equations you can solve. And that's great to do that. But much of God's thumbprint on humanity is things in simplicity that lead to his power. Simply powerful. A baby in a manger, born. For some may seem too simple that you're trying to tell me he's a king of something. The Lord of Lords. Paul in 1 Corinthians, writing to the Corinthian church there, said, God works to confound the wise sometimes in simplicity. And some translations conform the foolish things of this world in simplicity. But simply powerful is a baby in a manger that was born. Think of the word born. I can be confident that each one of you and those online have been born. I'm going not out on a limb when I say that. You've been born. And I'm not overthinking this, but born means coming into existence, into a reality. So God chose the only way to reconcile us, humanity, back to him. The only route to that was for his son to be born. Because you see, when he was born, the rest of the plan fit in. And we were talking about last week, there's four things we were hitting. There was born to be near us, born to reveal our Father. This is when Jesus was on planet Earth. Born to save us, which we're going to jump in all these in a second. And then more importantly at the end, born to see us. Born to see us. We talked about born being near us. We just talked about that scripture, John 1. He moved into the neighborhood. I know the Western culture has, even when it's competing on shelves and retail shelves between Santa Claus and, you know, things at our stores, and you see a nativity or pictures and it looks like it's way out in a field. There was no room in the inn, it said at one point. We know that. That inn was not a holiday. I'm not being funny, but it is. That inn was not a holiday inn, a day's inn, or whatever inn. Inn in those days meant a guest house in someone's home. So they were searching in the neighborhood to have baby Jesus. A neighborhood. And where he ended is in a manger that is where the animals are in these homes to be born, the Son of God, in a neighborhood. It could have been our house. Bring it home. Neighborhood. He was growing up as a young boy, a toddler, Jesus. And at one point, again, hitting the point that he was near us when he was on planet Earth and still near us today, as we'll end with. He was so near us. In one part, Mary and Joseph would go to Passover from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And this one time they're done with Passover and they're heading back home. And they realize on their way home, Jesus ain't with us. Just think about that. I don't want to say it's like Home Alone. Kevin! But you got to think of that. He had to be so near to his parents. I don't think Mary and Joseph propped him up when they left Passover on a big idol or something they could bring back to their home. He was a boy among boys. And yet they didn't know he was with them until they were moving along. Think of that. Jesus. I'm not bringing down his divinity because he had it. I'm relating to his humanity because he was in it. Do you understand that that's so important to understand? But he was near us. John the Baptist later on in Jesus' life. And he was about to baptize Jesus and get him into full-time ministry, so to speak. And there's a point, and I mentioned this last week, again, being Jesus so near to us, near to his community, in the community, a boy, a young man, and eventually the Savior and King. John the Baptist is trying to explain to some religious folks, when this Messiah comes and I baptize him, you won't know who he is because he was in the crowd among us, it says. Jesus, the baby, born. Jesus had the suit of humanity, a baby to a toddler, to a teenager, to a young man. But the Holy Spirit birthed him. He had the divinity inside of him. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. The next thing we talked about was born to reveal. Jesus was born, came into existence, into reality, to unveil our Father God to us. Whew. This is where he started ruffling feathers. Because for many of those religious folks, he didn't have any street credit. He didn't go to seminary. He was born in a manger. But yet you're telling me you're revealing Almighty God in a way that is something that we don't do at temple? You're telling me that God loves us unconditionally? He was revealing the Father to the people around him and us. In John 3:19, they tried to pin him to say, you're just trying to create your own ministry, Jesus, and a following and a movement and a cult or whatever. But in John 5:19, do we have it up there? It's worth taking a minute to read. I can't. The Christmas tree is in the way, and that's all good. What does it say, Pastor? I don't know. Let's find out. So Jesus explained. He was talking to disciples and Pharisees. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself, meaning him and Jesus himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does whatever. So he's telling them that this isn't my mission. This is Father God's mission that I'm trying to reveal to you. He in Matthew 20, again on the lines that we're talking about, Jesus born to reveal our Father to us. In Matthew 20, he says, he even titles himself the Son of Man to relate to those he's talking to. I came not to be served, but to serve. Wow. Doesn't make sense, this guy, sometimes. But he would point to the Father through his teachings and healings and continue to give glory to only God alone. And as he kept going and the disciples are following, they're discovering that the main reason that Jesus is here is to reconcile us back to a loving Father. That's deep. The Pharisees would continue to push on him. I mean, you didn't go to seminary. Where's your credibility? And they would point back to Isaiah and other prophecies that were way before Jesus came to earth. We said one of the scriptures was one of the songs earlier. It's an amazing song. Prince of Peace. The government will rest on his shoulders. This is a prophecy about Jesus, the Messiah. Prince of Peace. Side note, I was thinking about that. You have Prince of Wales. You have Prince of Qatar. You have all these princes that are going to inherit maybe a kingdom of real estate, geography. Listen to me carefully, please. And I'm preaching to myself. Prince of Peace is a far greater real estate than any other geographic location on our map. See, Prince of the Peace, the real estate of peace, a place, is in each and every one of us if we surrender and follow Jesus. And he's the prince of that, already in you, Prince of Peace. But Jesus would tell them that these prophecies are being fulfilled. This is me, Messiah, but I'm pointing to God, not to me. Not to me. And then we get into another read. Let's read quickly Luke 4:18. This is Jesus pretty much drawing a line in the sand saying why I'm here, right? And this is what we're going to talk about next. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news. We get a lot of bad news every day. This is good news, he's saying. To the poor. He didn't say homeless. It reaches them too and everybody else. The poor, those do not know God, that have no relationship with God, that are poor. For he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. So he is coming to do something, not just to deliver a nice message, not to open some blind eyes, even though he says that. He's here for something greater. He's near us. He was born to be near us. He reveals our Father to us. He's born for that. Then he's born, as this scripture leads into, to save us, set us free. This is where it gets a lot more interesting for people that are looking to believe in God, but now saying, wait a minute, you're saving me from what? He preaches about it right here. Captives be released. It's good news. Blind will be seen, not just physical eyes. Spiritual eyes that are in each and every one of us. And the oppressed set free. Meaning setting people free, being oppressed, that they don't have to live in fear, which is the root of about everything, of this life around us. That there's something greater going on in that purpose. The religious folks really were starting to wring their hands and even learn, like, wait a minute, we might need to figure a way to suppress this guy Jesus, because he's saying things that don't line up with what rituals we do, what motions we do, and keeping our jobs. It's threatening. But Jesus came to save us. See, all of us were born. We solidified that earlier. We're all born into a fight. Whether you are fight or flight, you're born into a fight. The fight is humanity doing things on their own, or human beings relying on a God that created them. The choice is up to you, but you're born into making that decision. Humanity on its own. Watch the news. How well we doing? Human beings with God from our original design and our creator. I would rather take that latter part. And that's a choice we all have to do when we're born into this fight. Jesus, God gave us a free will, and Jesus talks about this. I always find it funny. That's not funny. It's serious because it's a real inquiry. If there's a God, why do all these bad things happen? Well, you have free will. It's not rocket science. You have free will. And look at what free will does. You get to choose what you want to do. And in the Garden of Eden, right, Adam and Eve chose to say, We can do this on our own, God. We don't need you. So God, because sin was entering in because of us doing things on our own, it separated us from God. And Jesus comes to help reconcile and save us. Pastor, what am I being saved from? You were born, and you're all going to physically die at some point. Most likely. I'm sorry. 10 out of 10 doctors said that. So the other thing is, when you die, there is a eternal death. Merry Christmas. I'm just telling you the truth right now. Or there's an eternal life. And what you do in the born of the fight has to do with what where you end up. And we as Christians and Christ followers choose to have eternal life. In John 3:16, the most famous scripture that any NFL camera has ever seen on a sideline. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him will not perish. Will not perish, but have everlasting life. I like hanging around people. Not a circus, but I like hanging around people that really understand what they've been saved from. Because that'll bring you joy in your life. Well, again, we're talking about the greatest giver earlier, giving the greatest gift of salvation for you and I through a baby in a manger that began this work. So he came to save us. Some of your relatives, or maybe yourself, may say, I don't need saving. Take that risk. We live in a world that success is defined by sometimes pride and what we've created. And it's good. It's okay. You need to be working and create things. But there can come a point, a sustainability, where you think you are sustaining yourself and you do not need a God to help you. That's why when somebody passes away, oh my gosh! We're all scripted. Eternity waits for everyone in this room and online. Again, Merry Christmas. But it is. And I'm telling you, Jesus came to be born into humanity to save us. Finally, Jesus came to see us. Born to see us. And Hebrews, Paul talks about that he could see our infirmities in our feelings. You know, Jesus could see the people around him, remembering Lazarus when he died, his friend Lazarus. He came onto the scene and Mary and Martha and everybody's crying. And it's the only part where we do see in the Bible that Jesus showed some feelings. There's a few other parts, but he wept over his friend dead. I gotta think he was looking Mary and Martha in the eyes when he arrived. And that built the emotions. How about Jesus with the woman of the well? He saw her where she was. How about Jesus when a woman got caught in some not fun stuff and they were about to stone her? Jesus looked in her eyes and saw where she was. Jesus was born to see us, you and I, to see where we are. And if we begin to understand that, and you can never, never clean up enough to look into the eyes of Jesus. Because he already knows where you are. Right? We're not done there yet. In the part that even gets more discovery, as he sees us and knows where we are, and we begin to gaze back on him, beautiful, isn't here. We begin to behold him. Whew, the Son of God. When you begin to do that, he begins to see into your eyes. Not just where you are, but where you can go. Because the neat thing about Jesus and the truth about our God is he never leaves us where we are. But it takes remember that unpacking, that gift of free will. You have to surrender and say, Lord, Jesus, I'm willing for you to see me where I am, in my mess, in my success. Wherever I am, forgive me and see me. And then he sees you where you are. But as you continue to gaze into him, he doesn't want to leave you where you are. And it gets even better. as the gaze continues in your life of discovery of following Christ, when you begin to see yourself in His eyes, hold on, you begin to look like Jesus. Amazing. Jesus came to be born, come into existence, come into our reality. He came to be near us, and He was. Came to reveal our Father, Abba, a loving Father, unconditional love. Then He came to save us. Jesus was born to save us. Amazing. And then He came, was born to see you and I. Just as relevant now as over 2,000 years ago. I would encourage you as you enter into 2024, as we're celebrating Jesus, like the shepherds, as we read earlier, shepherds in the field, Gabriel, the angels come and announce the birth of a Messiah and King. Although some Jewish folks thought that He was coming to save them from an oppressed Rome, He was coming to save everybody from much more than that. And as He came, as the shepherds heard of this good news in the fields, my question to you during this Christmas season, you may not have angels, but you have a preacher in a loud coat telling you right now, who is Jesus to you? Who is He? We have to answer that. But He's come to tell you that God loves you so much that He was born to save us and be with us. So as eager as the shepherds left the field and came down in prophecy from the angels and saw the baby birth swaddled in clothes, laying in a manger, they were eager to spread that beyond that neighborhood. My question to you, who is Jesus to you? And if He is your Lord and Savior and you're following Him, you can't just sit on that whole truth yourself. You need to tell others about it. Amen. Not about religion, about relationship with an almighty God that loves you more than anything else. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. If anybody wants prayer after the service tonight, just come out and I'd love to introduce you to this Savior and Messiah Jesus and pray with you if you're looking to follow Christ. Other than that, we are going to jump in to lighting candles. I think I was supposed to say that during my message, so we're a little bit behind schedule. I didn't do too bad. Come on. I think it was, 25 minutes up here? 30? But so we, no, I don't, I'm not, thank you though, I appreciate it. But let's keep a somber mood and stand, and we're going to start lighting some candles, and we're going to sing Holy Night. And this will be the conclusion of our service. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. We appreciate that. And those joining us online, thank you so much. Thank you. Pastor Wright, thank you. Excuse me, there's buckets at the back to put these away, or if you want to take them home, but just to let you know. Thank you, Pastor. Blessed and Merry Christmas. Blessings.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mike Sandell here at Faith Christian Center, and we're so thankful that you're able to join us tonight in our Christmas Eve service. I trust that you enjoyed the service tonight, especially the message. And we all know the reason for the season. And that's Christ Jesus, which is made very clear by our pastor, Chris. And so one of the things about this message is this, the reason for man's existence. And that reason is for relationship and fellowship. God is a father with a father's heart. And what he wants is to reconcile all of his people back to himself and to restore that relationship that he once had when he first created Adam and Eve. And that's what God wants for all of us. And that is a wonderful gift that he provides us. So let me remind you always to remember what the reason for the season. When you gather around the Christmas tree with your families and you're unwrapping your gifts, remember why we're celebrating that day. We are celebrating Jesus, who came to restore relationship and fellowship with the Father. Because it was Father's desire to have sons and daughters. And that can only happen through Christ. And for all those of you who believe that, will become members of God's family. And that is God's heart's desire. So I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas on behalf of our pastoral staff. And also on behalf of our Faith Christian Center family. We want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a very prosperous New Year. Thank you and God bless you.